I see everything that goes on in this house.
Please, he only asked to go into the garden.
You should have stood up and left.
Do you expect me to be confined to my bedroom?
I expect you to be a faithful wife.
I am.
Then how can you speak? How can you even breathe when you know that your husband has been hunted down by these animals? When I see them, I want to rip their eyes out.
What's happened?
We've just heard that Gaston's unit is in a labor camp in Germany. Your husband is a prisoner of war.
This German is our enemy. Do you understand?
Yes.
That was Kristen Scott Thomas admonishing Michelle Williams for fraternising with the Germans in the new movie Suite Française. And this has been a 007, back for another 10-minute spoiler-free movie review. Of the aforementioned wartime melodrama, romantic drama? I'm not quite sure. Sometimes it seems to play like an episode of Downton Abbey with all the class-riven angst of a British chamber piece. But for those of you who are not aware, Suite Française is the adaptation of the wildly successful book by Irene Narumovsky. This is a book that was written in secret during World War II and was left unfinished because Irene was sent to Auschwitz by the Germans and sadly died there. It was discovered 60 years later by her daughter and published to wild acclaim. The story of its publication is arguably better than the book itself, I'm sad to admit. Although the two parts that we have, I guess, are hard to judge because they're unfinished. The first was a description of the exodus from Paris as the Germans invaded, and is maybe, I think, one of the most evocative depictions of how ordinary people cope with the ravages of wartime. The second part of the incomplete book, however, I found less successful. And maybe that's not the fault of the author, but just of the fact that since she wrote that, the idea it encapsulates has become rather hackneyed. And that is of the wartime deserted wife falling in love with the occupying soldier. And it's a story that we've seen in movies and books such as Captain Corelli's Mandolin. And it is replayed here by Michelle Williams as the abandoned wife, and Matthias Schoenaerts as the Nazi soldier with a heart of gold. I guess we should have a Nazi soldier with a heart of gold trope that's akin to the hooker with a heart of gold, right? It appears as often in film. So just as in Captain Corelli's Mandolin, the thing that alerts the abandoned wife to the soul of the occupying soldier is his love for music, because of course people who love music can never be truly evil, which I guess is a pretty naive idea which was turned over its head in World War II itself, wasn't it? I mean, wasn't that the argument about the Germans? How could a people so in love with the finer arts do something so horrific? But anyway, we'll let that rest. As the movie opens, we rather elegantly see the conflation of both of the stories that Irene wrote. We see the exodus from Paris, and we meet Kristen Scott Thomas's wonderfully steely madame, the French woman who refuses to believe that France will ever fail and goes around collecting the rents on her estates with not an inch of humanity to her. And we meet her rather milksop daughter-in-law, played by Michelle Williams, who is really just utterly vacant and naive and rather dull, I have to say, as a central heroine. But you can see this film almost as a coming-of-age piece and how these two characters, well, on the one hand, soften and on the other hand, mature and become tougher as they endure the occupation of their village in northern France. The German troops move in and almost immediately you see how in wartime the best is often, well, is it brought out of people? The immediate reaction of the townsfolk is basically to shop each other to the Germans. So we have these nasty little letters written by the town gossips to the German officer with a heart of gold who happens to be staying with these two women, including some rather nefarious information about both of them. So we have, on the one hand, a story about how these two people, the French woman and the German soldier, kind of fall in love, but they can't because it's wartime and ugh. I think we've rather seen that before, holding out and then finally giving in, or not quite. By far the more interesting story in Suite Française is the story of this village. And I think what's fascinating is that when you look at all of the characters in the book and in this movie, which is a fairly faithful adaptation from memory, I haven't read the book for 10 years, is that none of the characters are entirely likeable and none of the characters are entirely despicable. So we have the young girl, you know, the young village slut who's sleeping with a German soldier, but, you know, she's quite sympathetic. We have the so-called heroine, this milksop woman, who seems incredibly passive and just annoying, but who finds a little bit of backbone and has some humanity. We have the resistance fighter who's brave and noble and yet allows something rather ignoble to happen. And then we have the vicomte and vicomtesse of the village who seem to be utterly collaborating and utterly despicable, and yet, in the end, show more simple humanity and maybe more courage than any of the other characters in the piece. So it's that kind of film. It's the kind of film that doesn't allow you, despite the fact that it seems like a very cliched cinematic trope, to fix on characters and put them in boxes, even the central two characters. And from that perspective, I'm curious to see how the movie does, because I think people watching this film expecting a kind of soupy wartime romance are going to be disappointed by how hard it is, I think, to latch on to the key woman and man. And those of us who like things a little bit darker and a little bit messier, I think we'll find a little of that if you really dig deep, but maybe are going to get put off by that superficial sheen of soupy melodrama. So it's kind of like it may end up dissatisfying everybody. I think in a sense I was quite bored for some of the film, but every time I was giving up hope and it just became, oh, here's another lilting piano melody and another, you know, hastily snatched kiss, something spiky and dark would happen. And the spikiness and the darkness did not center on Michelle Williams and Matthias Schoenaerts, as good as their performances are. It centered on these cameo performances, typically by British and French character actors. So I think anytime Kristin Scott Thomas is on screen, you have something brittle and electric and mesmerizing. I mean, I think she absolutely steals this film. But then, you know, Lambert Wilson and Dame Harriet Walter, in fact, I should say Dame Kristin Scott Thomas as well. I didn't realize she had been ennobled, but Dame Harriet Walter and Lambert Wilson as the Viscount and Viscountess, I think, are absolutely stunning as well. So what to make of the film overall? It's a strange one, it really is. It looks beautiful. The DP is Edward Grau, an amazing cinematographer who shot Tom Ford's movie, A Single Man, which I think is one of the most beautiful contemporary films of recent years. The score has to be great, right? I mean, this is a movie that hinges on love. And as much as I did find that little melody slightly repetitively used, I guess that's just the nature of the piece, but the score by Rael Jones, I think, is very good. And the direction by Saul Dibb, who also directed The Duchess, I think, is very good. I think the real behind-the-lens plaudits actually belong to both Saul Dibb and Matt Charman, who adapted the book for screen, because, like I said, they've managed to merge these two very disparate stories into one coherent whole. But, as I said, it's an odd film. It has its longers, but there's just enough in it, I think, to keep you interested. I don't think it's going to be a runaway hit, certainly not in the way that the book was, the phenomena that was Sweet Frances. But it's definitely, I think, worth checking out. And actually on a big screen, because the photography warrants that, I feel. Anyway, that's my take on Sweet Frances. If you've seen the movie and agree or disagree with my take, feel free to leave a comment on the blog at beena007.com. And in the meantime, thank you for listening. Sweet Frances has a running time of 107 minutes and is rated 15 in the UK. I think the movie has been bought for distribution in the USA, but I can't find a release date as yet. The film is, however, on release currently in the UK, Ireland and Italy. It opens next weekend in Belgium and Switzerland, on March 26th in the Netherlands, April 1st in France, April 2nd in Portugal, May 15th in Turkey, May 21st in Denmark, and May 22nd in Spain.